if you're planning a 2024-2025 homeschool, or if you wonder if you could begin your homeschool journey this year, then this podcast episode is for you. If you're well into your homeschool journey, but you'd love a little cheerleading, consider this episode as the multiple reminders of how far you've come. Welcome to the Homeschool Mama Self-Care Podcast. I'm Teresa Wiedrich, the Certified Life Coach and Homeschool Mentor, found at www.capturingthecharmedlife.com. I'm here to help you shed what's not working so you can show up authentically, confidently, and purposefully in your homeschool and life. So welcome, Homeschool Mama. This podcast episode is dedicated to you if these have been your recent questions. What if what everyone is saying about socialization of a homeschool kid is true? I can't homeschool because I can't teach math, or you fill in another subject. How do I homeschool? Science or geography or fine arts or finances or logic? What if I'm not a certified teacher, or I'm always hearing about classical homeschool, unschooling, Charlotte Mason, Montessori, Waldorf, classical conversations, or you fill in the blank, the kind of homeschool method that's out there, and you're wondering, which one do I choose? Maybe you've been thinking, I don't think I have the bandwidth or the patience to homeschool. Or maybe you're thinking, my child will not be motivated under my teaching authority. Or maybe you're wondering, my child will not be motivated if they are homeschooled. You might have heard about the word de-school and wonder what that's all about. Or you think, homeschooling? If I homeschool, my child is going to push back when I ask them to do something. Or maybe you're thinking, I don't have family support. I don't know anyone else doing this. Or my partner's not on board. I'm worried I'll burn out. My partner is more worried that I'll burn out. Or I recognize the significant crossroads that I'm at this point of my life, and I'm kind of nervous about making it, because what if I'm not doing right by my kids if I choose to homeschool? Maybe you've been wondering how you even facilitate this thing called child-inspired learning. Or you've heard about customizing an education, but wonder if that means you'll be exhausted for sure, trying to juggle so many kids' homeschools. And possibly you've been wondering how you will address all those non-supportive questions that everyone seems to ask about homeschooling. Now you'll have to address them. If you've been wondering any of these questions, then this podcast episode is dedicated to you. However, know that I am not able to address all these questions in just one episode, but if you're considering a first-year homeschool try, or just considering the idea of it, then I've got a guide to your first homeschool year that will answer all these questions and more. Over the course of 52 weeks, you'll receive one email each week. You can find that guide on the first page of my website, CapturingTheCharmedLife.com. Or if you'd like to talk about these conversation points with me, then I offer you a one-on-one coaching opportunity to get to the heart of your concerns so you can confidently move into this first year of your homeschool journey. If you'd like to progressively walk through these challenges alongside other first-year homeschool moms, where you can cheerlead each other and also learn about other people's experiences in their first homeschool year, then join me in the Confident Homeschool Mom Collective. And be sure to listen to the podcast season dedicated to the new homeschool mom. You can access all of these resources on the first page of my website. When you first step off the beaten path, leaving the conventional school path behind, you might have uncertainties and doubts. You might research and read more than Wiki itself. It's a rite of passage, of course, for all new homeschoolers to do that, as one should. We're taking responsibility for our kids' education, and that's a big responsibility. I'm here to equip you to get clear and confident as you get started homeschooling, so you don't have to ride the tsunami waves of uncertainty, grapple in angst with other people's concerns, or feel alone in your choice to do this thing. You really can do this homeschool thing confidently and enjoy it too. So from one graduated homeschool mom to one that might be beginning her journey, here's my guide to getting started homeschooling. Oh, and a big warm welcome to you. If you head over to any homeschool Facebook group right now, you're going to see a lot of discussion about kids being taken from school to bring them home to homeschool, or I've got a four-year-old and I'm thinking about homeschooling in the fall, or my child is not happy in school and we're going to homeschool in the fall. Help! This is what I would share with that mom. The very basics, just to begin. To get started homeschooling, there are a few key things you need to know. Legal requirements. Every state, province, or country has legal requirements for homeschooling, so research them and become familiar with them. P.S. Getting to know them will help build your confidence in addressing the non-supporters. The second thing you need to know is curriculum, the thing that everyone is always asking about when they begin their homeschool journey. Where do I get the curriculum? What curriculum should I choose? What's the right curriculum? You will want to choose a curriculum or resources that makes sense to you and fits your child's learning style. You can purchase prepackaged curriculums, or you can create your own resources on the fly. You can purchase things all over the interweb, or you can borrow instead of purchasing. You can get a library card. Every seasoned homeschool mom will tell you that this is the year you are most likely to overbuy curriculum. But just know that this might be a rite of passage, and yet also know you don't need to. Just because it's curriculum or even the loveliest resource does not mean it will be a useful tool for your child. Just because your friend loves it doesn't mean you'll love it. Just because it's pretty won't mean that you'll like to use it over the course of time. Just because it's expensive, the only thing you're going to get with expensive curriculum is a guarantee that you will feel compelled to use it, even if it doesn't work. So, curriculum for thought. The third thing I would discuss is the concept of learning styles. Understand your child's general learning style will help you tailor curriculum and methods to meet their unique needs. So it's valuable for you to look back if they have been in a school to ask the teacher to learn from the child how they like to learn and what really did serve them and what didn't. But the thing is, we are getting familiar with our children in a way we haven't before, and so this might take some time. We might need to observe our children to learn how do they learn, what do they like to learn. Oh, and since you're researching all things homeschool right now, consider also reading about child development, family dynamics, personal growth, healing your inner child, exploring your mother wound, and learning self-compassion strategies. And though I say it kind of jokingly, actually, I totally mean it. You will need it. In fact, if you heavily weighted your research anywhere, I would do it here on these things, rather than curriculum, method, schedules, or time management, because you will definitely be happier at year four. If you don't know where to start when researching some of these things, child development, family dynamics, personal growth, healing your inner child, exploring your mother wound, and learning self-compassion strategies, you're also welcome to join me in the Homeschool Mama Book Club, where I'll lead you in conversations on important books and concepts that can benefit your homeschool and your homeschool mom life. You're likely wondering, what routine or schedule should I set so I can stay organized and sane? And I know you need a routine, because this is one of the first things that most first-year homeschool parents ask about. What should I set as a routine or a schedule? I'll happily show you how to set it up one-on-one in the Confident Homeschool Mom Collective. We can walk through what matters to you, help you clarify how you want to spend your days, whether you work in addition to your homeschool life and how that'll impact your schedule, how to incorporate your wellness plan into your days, because I'll definitely encourage you to have a wellness plan. And also include relationship building practices, because the homeschool family life isn't just about multiplying fractions, teaching your kiddo to read, or facilitating extracurricular activities. It's definitely about relationships. But of course, we'll talk about those things too. Actually, we won't talk about multiplying fractions because I'm pretty sure I'm not really clear on that at the present. Here are a few resources to help set your routine, though. You'll find these resources on my website. I wrote a post called Hack Time Management for Homeschool Moms. This has a specific discussion about how to time block on your day timer or on a planner. You'll also find that YouTube video on my YouTube channel. Hack Time Management for Homeschool Moms. Then you can access the 6 game-changing ways to streamline your homeschool routines, which I think is more relevant than finding the perfect planner out there with pretty stickers and colored markers. You want to actually know what matters and then decide to put it into your day timer. So that's called the 6 game-changing ways to streamline your homeschool routines. Then go check out the How to Create an Energizing Homeschool Morning Routine. Because if you start your day noticing what you need, doing a few things for you, you'll be more energized to go on with the rest of your day. That is part of your burnout prevention plan. I've also got a post that is called How to Create a Homeschool Routine That Works for You, and that gets into the specifics of what exactly am I supposed to put in front of my children as learning opportunities, or in the school system, we call them school subjects. I like to think of school subjects loosely based on learning opportunities. Doesn't matter if you're in agreement with me or not on this one, but I think when we think of learning as learning opportunities, we're more likely to see learning happening everywhere. So if you want to learn more about how to observe your child and create more learning opportunities, go to How to Create a Homeschool Routine That Works for You. The 5th thing I would share with the new homeschool mom in that Facebook group asking help, what do I do, is surprisingly, you're probably going to be surprised anyway, keep records of your child's progress. I believe that tracking their progress, is useful for you to build your confidence, not just because someone might come to your home one day, because maybe they will, but probably they won't. You want to track your child's progress because you want to know that you are doing right by them. And you actually noticing what you've been doing, facilitate an education for your kids, actually will bolster your confidence. Oh, look, I did these things. I can't believe my children are so smart and they're so curious and they're following all these rabbit trails and we're covering all these learning outcomes in the school system in the most natural way. And also, we're reading so many books and there's so many science experiments and they're following interests that I never thought they would. And who knew that we could cover the Pythagorean theorem by building a goat barn? You want to know that you're doing right by them, so keep track of what you're doing. Keeping continual records will reinforce to you that you're doing a bang-up job engaging them and giving them a feast of ideas so they can contribute meaningfully in their lives. The 6th thing I would say to an expectant homeschool mom, like expectant to be homeschooling, not expectant, is to build a support network of other homeschool families in your area. People with real skin on. But in the Confident Homeschool Mom Collective, a virtual place to hang out, I'll give you a play-by-play of how you can create these relationships and support networks in your real world. And you can experience it virtually around the world too, of course, with us, and be cheered on and encouraged by other first-year homeschool moms and those that are well-established in their homeschool years. The 7th thing that I would share with an expectant homeschool mom is to be flexible. Or at least to practice it. Okay, I know you're not going to be flexible before you know how to be flexible, but you're going to have to learn how to be flexible because one of the benefits of homeschooling is also one of the challenges in homeschooling, learning to be flexible or experiencing flexibility. We have the opportunity, we have the benefit of flexibility. We can adjust our schedule, the activities, the events of our lives as needed to meet the needs of our kids, ourselves, and our community. You'll need flexibility. And whether you're willing to learn it or not, you'll still learn it because life will require you to. Consider exploring areas where you're naturally flexible and where you're not by chatting in a journal. Have a conversation with your journal. P.S. If you haven't started journaling, it might be time. She'll be your witness, companion, and clarifier. You can use any of the journals I've designed for homeschool moms, or grab a simple dollar store notebook and write anything that comes to mind when I say, where am I flexible? Where am I not flexible? Consider these questions an opportunity for you to consider how you might continue to grow into the person you need to embody to be the confident, capable homeschool mom that you really are. And though everyone will not tell you about this, because they just want to encourage you to homeschool, because it is such a wonderful thing for so many reasons, you will need to grow in patience and persistence. You probably already know about the patience thing. I can remember many times people saying, I could not do what you're doing because I am not patient enough. And I thought to myself, is that a prerequisite? Because I'm also not patient enough and I've been doing it for a while. So you know you need patience, or at least have a plan to practice it, a very clear, succinct plan to practice it. You need to get to know you, your big emotions, and how to address them so that you can build in understanding of yourself and also of your kids. That there is the formula to becoming patient. It's all about understanding. But you also want to learn to be persistent because homeschooling can be challenging at times. You might be in the first year reorganizing relationships, learning how to relate to each other, certainly learning how to emotionally regulate, learning how to help your kids learn to emotionally regulate too. You'll learn that you only have a finite amount of time and you have to choose what matters so you can use that time well. You have to learn how to address your unsupportive community and get clear on why other people's criticisms matter anyway. And you'll have to learn how to prioritize your wellness if you want to do this over the long term. And oh yeah, you'll probably have to relearn a bunch of stuff you didn't know you didn't learn in school, unless you farm that out, which is totally cool too. Patience and persistence will be your learning companions in your first year. And for those homeschool moms that are not in their first year and they've been doing this for a while, they know they're still learning. Yeah, I hear you. Me too. So to get started homeschooling, the things you need to know, legal requirements, how to buy curriculum, learning styles, clarifying a routine, building in record-keeping time, building a support network, learning how to be flexible, and becoming patient and persistent. P.S. No one's learned this all in 1 year, but if I were to encourage you in anything, it would be these things. Once upon a time, I had an expectation that my family would experience utopia via this homeschool life. There's a reason that my website's called Capturing the Charmed Life. Early on, I wrote about my three little girls in their frilly white dresses, slamming screen doors as they ran into our kitchen from our Prince Edward Island homestead garden. We'd enjoy read-alouds with tea in the afternoon and read classics like Secret Garden and Anne of Green Gables, of course, on our white sofa, and we'd live happily ever after. You know, utopia. And yes, for some reason, it had to be Prince Edward Island, not British Columbia, where I now live. And why a white couch? Because I already purchased one from IKEA, which I might add is the antithesis of homeschool utopia. A white couch in any family home is always unwise. I learned that homeschool is not utopia. There are plenty of challenges along the way. However, if you're clear on why you're doing it and you're willing to learn a few things, you will overcome many of those challenges and feel satisfied and successful in your homeschool journey. Turns out my three little girls are way past wearing white dresses now. They're 23, 21, and almost 19. They purchased their own clothes, and I've not seen a white dress yet. We added a son to the mix. He's 15, almost 16, and thick into the high school years. We are nearly finished the formal parenting years. I learned you can homeschool in every province of Canada, not just PEI, and many countries around the world too. Most of you listening to me are my neighbors to the south. Hello, y'all. Okay. I don't know what I'm thinking. I know that you're not actually all southern from the south, but anyways, you're more south than me. Hey, nice to meet you, eh? In our homeschool years, we indeed read a bajillion read-alouds with tea many afternoons. We got rid of that white couch. And you know what? It was a long, hard road to happily ever after. And the way I understand life now, happily ever after belongs in fairy tales, not real life. But this homeschool lifestyle has brought us so many moments and memories, so many opportunities to grow and learn alongside one another. The freedom to think and live outside the conventional societal box, and therefore to be drawn to what is truer for each of us, becoming more authentic and congruent and intentional in all the different areas of life, and all because we chose to step off the beaten path. What my reality of my homeschool family life was and what my original version was definitely were not the same. But freedom most certainly has remained a constant companion. I've had to overcome how to handle homeschool frustration and overwhelm, what to do when I was fed up homeschooling, how to manage impatience, not just mine, also a couple of my kids, learning to address unrealistic expectations by auditing my time, how to address my big emotions, how to address that feeling of, am I doing what I'm doing good enough? How to de-school, and by the way, still doing it, how to de-school to bring more freedom and purpose. How to grow myself up and move towards personal growth. How to find quiet. Tricky one. How to build boundaries. How to heal the mother wound. How to become more me while enabling others to become more them. And, you know, have a few relationship revolutions as well. For those regularly listening to this podcast, now you know why I speak to these topics on the regular. Because I've lived and grown into them, and I see these topics as the most important elements of a happier, more satisfied homeschool mom life. No question, this homeschool family life has not been utopia, but what an amazing life it's been. Oh, and just a little side note for those that are just considering homeschooling. They're not at all convinced they should be doing this. They're contemplating whether they should. Head over to my YouTube channel, the Homeschool Mom Wellness and Mindset Coach channel, and type in the search bar, should I homeschool? I'll give you an honest overview of the things I believe you should consider if you're trying to decide whether you will homeschool this upcoming year. After you've watched that video, you're welcome to connect with me, book a conversation, a no obligation conversation with me to decide. I reserve time each week to have a conversation with first-year homeschoolers or expectant homeschoolers. And if that's you, just send me a message and say, hey, I heard you had a first-year meet and greet. I'd like to chat with you about homeschooling. If you're convinced that you want to homeschool, can I give you a little advice on researching for this first year of homeschooling? Be realistic about how much time you have to plan for your upcoming homeschool. I mean, just the planning part of it. You could spend the entire summer planning for your homeschool. There are so many options, ideas, resources, bloggers, social media influencers, podcasters, books. It's endless. It is nothing like my experience in the days that I began homeschooling. But if you're looking for a curated list of books that could benefit you as you're doing your researching, ask me for the Homeschool Mama reading list, or you can head over to the show notes page to this episode titled Get Started Homeschooling in 2024, A Guide for a Successful and Satisfying Journey. You can access my Homeschool Mama reading list there. I also share a variety of podcasts that I think you may be benefited by. I've curated a list here too. If you're a Catholic homeschool mom and you want seasoned advice, check out Bonnie Landry's podcast, Make Joy Normal. Or if you've got a kiddo with neurodiverse challenges, you should listen to Colleen Kessler's podcast, Raising Lifelong Learners. She's neurodiverse and her kids are neurodiverse, and she studied neurodiversity, so you'll gain so much benefit by listening to her. If you want a more Charlotte Mason-infused homeschool, join Leah Bowden over at the Modern Miss Mason podcast, and definitely check out her book, Modern Miss Mason, too. If you're interested in homeschooling, but you don't know how, because you'll be a new working homeschool mom, then you'll want to listen to Charlotte Jones' podcast, Strike a Balance Podcast, for working homeschool moms. Or if you want to learn from a Christian homeschool mama of two and a genuinely kind soul, you should listen to Amy Otto at the Homeschool Compass podcast, where she learns from the wisdom of homeschool moms who have gone before her. P.S. I'm just going to interrupt my list of homeschool mama podcasters here to say I've interviewed most of these homeschool mama podcasters, so if you want to hear us in conversation, put their name in the search bar at the top of my website. You can also listen to Natalie Burns on her new podcast, Assured, where she'll help you navigate your homeschool teaching so you don't need to try to figure it out on your own. Or if you want to learn from a graduated homeschool mom who suffered adrenal burnout, anxiety, and depression, and found her way back to health and happiness in her homeschool, listen to Susie Lubbers at Near Still Waters podcast. And if you want to learn about unschooling, listen to Robin Robertson's podcast, Honey, I'm Homeschooling the Kids. Robin, come back. We miss you. Or listen to the podcast, the Virtual Kitchen Table podcast, with Erin, Ashley, and Haley to have conversations about real family life and home education, often specifically unschooling. Have you met Kelly from the 90-Minute School Day podcast, where school is out and natural learning is in? Kelly's a foster adoptive homeschool mama who was in search of an attachment-based approach to learning, and so she created it. If you want to learn about all things homeschool high school, you need to check out the catalog of resources and episodes designed to bolster your confidence in the high school years over at the Homeschool High School podcast with my dear friend and heart cousin, Vicki Tillman. And of course, you're always welcome to return here to get your weekly dose of encouragement and inspiration to live your authentic, confident, intention-filled homeschool life, where I aspire to walk alongside you to help you turn your homeschool challenges into your homeschool charms. Every last bit of research will be useful to you, but you don't want to be in constant research mode. You want to be present doing fun stuff with your growing kids now, because they'll keep growing up, whether you're glued to your phone or not. So time block your homeschool research time this summer. FYI, I have a time audit to help you learn to manage your time and use your time for intentional purposes. You can find that on the show notes to this episode as well. So decide when you're going to set aside time to plan for your upcoming homeschool year. It does not have to be all day long. Will you listen to a podcast while you're walking the dog or pulling weeds after dinner? Will you turn on a podcast while you're doing a Pilates workout? Is Wednesday evening in a library cubicle near you the right time both to get away and plan? Of course, you're especially invited to set aside time to join me in the Confident Homeschool Mama Collective. So when will you decide to plan for your upcoming homeschool year? And for those mamas who have been doing this for many years, can you believe how much you learned over such a short period of time, if you think about it? You did so much research. Can I hear an amen? And now there are so many things I've spoken to today. You go, I wondered at one time if I would ever feel okay with that. And now I'm totally cool with that. Or, man, did I ever invest a lot of time trying to figure out what the right way to do it was? And then by the time year three or four, I just said, to heck with it. I'm just going to do it my way. You have come a long way, girlfriend. Also, I give you this piece of advice. Academics are not synonymous with an education. So now's the time to begin thinking outside the traditional learning box. I'm going to guess that you already have. That's why you're entertaining this. I want to encourage you in that. Because traditional learning approaches have their place. Sometimes some kids love them. Other times other kids definitely don't. But all of them are tools that can be used for the purposes of learning. But you don't use every tool under every situation. So choose your tools on purpose. You can learn from games. Name a game, and I or someone who has homeschooled for many years could easily tell you how your child is uniquely learning through that game. A game of chess enables strategy and logic. A game of chutes and ladders enables simple arithmetic. Also probably sharing. Professor Noggin's games can help us learn geography, Canadian provinces, astronomy, biomes, and habitats, and any other knowledge tidbit under the sun. Poker can teach statistics. Board games, gaming systems, portable card games, dice games all have their learning potential. So learn from games. Kids can learn from conversations and questions, too. A conversation might break out after listening to a radio or news piece, or after Uncle So-and-so had a discussion with Dad about a recent current event, or your child sees something in the common culture that you haven't seen in your own home, or when a child reads something they're not familiar with, or when your child is interested in literally any activity. All these conversations and questions can be fertile ground for a child to think and learn to build critical thinking skills. Every single conversation and question is a learning opportunity. Your child can learn from people outside your home too. We're known as homeschoolers, but we are anything but at home all the time. Can I hear another amen? We do interesting things. Sometimes that's at home and sometimes it's not. When kids have an interest in a specific area where we do not have skill or knowledge, we look for resources and mentors in our community to come alongside our kids so they can have useful mentors. These community mentors can come alongside our kids for a few years or just an afternoon. These mentoring opportunities are meaningful educational opportunities. If your kiddo is interested in something, anything, ask around to find out who might be interested in sharing their expertise, because there is always someone tickled to share what they know. And anything your child reads, watches, or listens could be a learning opportunity contributing to your child's education. Just because it's not found in a classroom doesn't mean it's not educational. Or I should say, just because it's not found around a homeschool kitchen table does not mean it's not educational. But FYI, the traditional classroom uses cinematic films, documentaries, games, workbooks, manipulatives, and online language programs too. I watched it happen with some of my kids too. All this stuff is educational. If your child is learning, there is something educational there. A first-year homeschool mom that I spent time with shared that I'm really interested in the big idea that I could leave many of my schooled assumptions about the right way of learning behind. This actually reminded me attempting to get my girls to make a research poster on salmon when they were in grades 3 and 4. We went to the library, got the books, tried to get them to read those books, then tried to get them interested in creating a cool, informative poster. I was trying to force feed them the formula of work that I'd been taught, and that didn't work for me either. Then we went down to the actual creek that runs through our property, only to discover salmon in it, and that they'd already known all this stuff that I was trying to teach them. They taught me everything about the life cycle of salmon that day. There's a mom that recognized where learning opportunities were. In our own backyard. I'm pretty sure that this next piece of advice is one that you already know. But I just want to encourage you to plan for the S question. The question about socialization. I think you might have to answer this question to infinity and beyond. I really thought that after the pandemic, people would finally now understand why this S question is irrelevant, but indeed, they don't. You will have to answer that question for a good long time. So come up with a plan to address it. Even though someone may comment on how kind and considerate your kids are toward each other at the playground, even though most people have been educated in a brick and mortar school, and socializing is not encouraged during class time, and even though most adults know that they don't want to spend 30 hours in a room with 24 other people their exact age, I believe you're likely to be asked about this S question, socialization to infinity and beyond. So pre-plan for it. What is your answer? Maybe write it down or have a conversation with me in the Confident Homeschool Mom Collective. Your peaceful, oriented, authentic, and non-reactive answer is all that's required. And my final piece of advice is when you get started homeschooling, remember that there really isn't one right way to homeschool. There is not one right way to homeschool at all. There is what? Only 15 children in your home? No, not 15. You're only responsible for homeschooling 1 to 12? Well, guess what? You only have to find 1 to 15 ways to homeschool. And from one homeschool mom to another, I've learned that you never get things fully right for any of them. Sure, we can try, and we are constitutionally bound to do so, I believe, as parents. But as with every area in our lives, perfection will not be found because perfect ain't a thing. Do you like my imperfect grammar there on purpose? Growth is a thing. Process is a thing. Learning is a thing. So I believe there is not one right way to homeschool. So take a deep cleansing breath with me. And though you begin this homeschool journey, I want to declare it over you and around you. You can accept your imperfectly perfect homeschool life. The rest of us have. Do it in whatever way seems right to you today. Continue to learn and process and grow and discover another new way tomorrow. But this is your perfectly imperfect homeschool. And there is not one right way to do it. And if you're listening to this podcast and you know for sure that you will be starting homeschooling this year, I just want to say welcome to homeschooling. If you want someone to encourage and inspire you, someone to help clarify your challenges during, I believe, one of the most demanding years of your homeschool family life, then I'm here to walk alongside you. I look forward to connecting with you over this year and learning more about you and your family. And hey, welcome to homeschooling. You can do this. You really can. Thank you for joining me today. If this podcast was an encouragement for you, would you share it with a homeschool friend who you know would benefit too? And would you consider sharing a review on Spotify or Apple or wherever you listen to this podcast? And when you share a review, screenshot your review, send it to me, and I'll offer you free access to the upcoming homeschool mom room. Like this week, we'll be having a Mother's Day tea. I'd love to see you there. And if you're not hearing this from anyone else, I want you to know that when you see all that you are doing for your children, whether you've been homeschooling for years or you're just beginning, you love those kids. You have tried to learn how to be present for those kids' lives, to do all the things that they need, and also try to figure out how to address your needs. I see you. You are amazing. Keep going, girlfriend. I believe you can turn all your homeschool challenges, all your mom challenges, into your charms. You got this, girlfriend.